Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service. We are so excited that you're here. Even though we're not together in the shelter, we will be next week. And today we're hoping you're visiting Verona and just really getting all that you can out of the beautiful city that we are called to. What I want to do is talk to you a little bit about Ephesians. We're going to keep going in our series. And Pastor Jeff started this in such a great way last week with a bang and a lot of food references. And I don't have food references, but I am very excited to get started in the second half of Ephesians. So today we're going to be studying Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. And it's really great. It's a prayer from Paul to the people he loves in Ephesus, who are the Ephesians. And I just wanted to give you a little bit more background on Paul and the book that we're reading, so you know just a little bit more about it. So we're not sure you know, but Paul used to be named Saul, and he was a Christian. No, he wasn't a Christian. That's the whole point. He was a guy who persecuted Christians, the opposite. And he was really infamous for his treatment of Christians. And so it makes it even more of a miracle that God found him, stopped him on this one road, put some scales over his eyes so he was kind of blinded, and really just met him there and transformed his life. And so Saul went from being Saul to Paul, and basically he just started a missionary journey. He had a story to tell. He was on fire for Jesus, for God, and he just traveled around. In all of the book of Acts, you can read his story, and you can read his whole missionary journey all around different countries. And he was just telling people what he couldn't hold in, which was that God had saved him, which is that Jesus is real. And he was telling the gospel, the good news, that Jesus had died and risen from the dead. And he just changed, it changed everything. And so in Acts, he travels around to all these places, and he spends quite a bit of time in jail because, as you can imagine, he riled a lot of people up. And so while he was in jail, he would write to the cities that he had visited because he had actually brought them closer to Jesus. He was such a shepherd to them, such a teacher and a leader. And then he left. And a lot of the churches had some issues after he was gone because they didn't have his guidance, and he really loved the people that he spent time with. And so he would write letters to them, and those letters are the books in the Bible in the New Testament. So what's cool about that is that we actually get to, if we read Acts, you can see where he went. So you can see Corinth and Ephesus, and you know that he wrote to those people, the Corinthians and the Ephesians. And each book, each letter, has kind of a different tone, a theme, because of what that church or those people needed to hear. And so we are doing Ephesians this week, this summer, and we're excited to get from this letter the love that Paul had for his people that he loved. And also, this book is divided in two parts. One is where he reminds us of the gospel, the good news, where Jesus was, Jesus saved us. He died and rose from the dead. And then the second half is really amazing instruction, not just rules, but things to help us get closer to Jesus in our own lives and find complete joy and complete fullness in Christ. So we're going to read Ephesians this year, this summer, and it's just going to be an amazing time. And this first chapter, first of all, Jeff reminded us last week, when he was teaching, we are reminded in that first part that we are loved, we are called, we are chosen, we are adopted into God's family. And these are things that we always need to remember. It's not just specific to the Ephesians that Paul was writing to. What's amazing is that that truth, those truths never go away. We are called, we are loved and chosen. So I'm going to read this section, that the second part of Ephesians 1. And what I want to do, first of all, is pray. And then when I read it, it's really a prayer. And I want you to imagine someone praying this over you. So let's pray, and then I'll read our section. Lord, thank you so much for the people that are here joining us today. And I just pray that you would just spread your love into Verona today as people are visiting restaurants or coffee shops or hiking. Lord, I ask that you would really remind us that you have called us to this city and that we love these people and that you have so much good for us in your word. I just ask that you would really speak to all of us, no matter where we are today, just through the writings of Paul, this wonderful letter to these people he loved. Thank you for loving us and calling us and adopting us into your family. Amen. All right, so let's get started. So this is an amazing section of Ephesians. So Paul usually starts with some kind of greeting in his letters, if you read them all. And he prays a lot. He likes to give a blessing, or he likes to just remind the people of who they are. So I'm going to read this, and I'm just going to let you listen to it like you were being prayed over. Okay, so here we go. This is verse 15, Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of the Lord of our Jesus Christ, I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that they would be enlightened in order to, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. All right, so do you guys ever watch Survivor? I love Survivor. It's a TV show where there are 16 people who go get shipped off to an island, and they think we're dumb and that it's a different island every time, but for the past 10 seasons it's been like the same island in Fiji. And for weeks they exist together, and it's a competition, so they first like each other and then they start hating each other because they have to compete against each other for $1 million. They have to turn on each other. They don't know each other. This is a total strangers being together, and they don't get to go home. Even when they leave the island and go home, they don't go home. They go to like a special place that they have just for the contestants, because they don't want anyone to know what's going on while they're filming. So trust me, this relates. So what we've got here is a bunch of strangers existing together, trying to survive each other and make $1 million. And in the middle of the seasons, usually, or near the end, or as a reward, they would get letters from home. And so this is always the most emotional part. They started bringing the families to the island with them, and it's like, just, oh, I cry every time, of course. But the ones where they read the letters from their families are so intense, because they go off by themselves and they read and they open. And of course the camera shows like pictures that their kids have drawn, or long handwritten letters from their moms. And they cry and cry. And then they're like re-energized, because those letters are from the people who know and love them the best. So they're on this island completely trying to be stranded with total strangers. And then they get this letter from home where they'll say things like, oh my gosh, she called me my nickname, or they reminded me that this is what I've always wanted, and they're cheering for me, and I know they're thinking about me. And then those letters just bring them so much joy, because no matter what, someone at home is loving and caring for them. So that is what these letters are from Paul. They are letters to people where he was with them. So in Acts 18 and 19, you can read that he was with the Ephesians for 2 years, and he actually brought them way closer to Jesus. He asked them at one point, were you baptized? And the people that were with him said, well, yeah, we were baptized in the baptism of John. And Paul says, oh gosh, well, that's amazing, because John, his repentance, his baptism was about repentance, but you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means that you get this power we were talking about, this power from Jesus, where it's the same power from creation. And there is such an enormous change, just a growth, a spiritual growth, and a maturity that comes with that. And so he led them into a place they'd never been. Their lives were fuller. They were learning. He taught for 2 years these same people and loved them and cared for them. And then he left and moved on. And this letter is reminding them that he knows them and he knows what they know. He knows that they have grown closer to Jesus, and he wants them to be reminded of that. So as those contestants in Survivor are just disgusting and gross, and they think everybody hates them, and it's all strategic, and their minds are spinning, they get these letters from home that say, you are loved, we are cheering for you, you can do this. And it like reminds them of who they are. So this letter to the Ephesians is the same thing. Paul is saying, listen, I know you, I know what you know, and I know that you love Jesus, and no matter what, even if I'm not there to guide you, you can walk in the path that you started walking in. And Jesus is there to give you a full, full life. So what I think is cool is that the beginning of, I think I'm saying cool a lot, but there's a lot of cool stuff in Acts or in Ephesians, totally. So, okay. So this is cool. Okay. In the beginning of this prayer in verse 15, this is what he says. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He heard, he's in prison, he heard about their faith, about how they're loving everyone, and he can't stop praying for them. They make him proud. They make him excited. He loves them, and he heard about their faith. So that made me stop and say, oh gosh, what do people hear about me? What do people hear about you? So let's think about that for a minute. What are people hearing about you? Are they hearing about your love for Jesus? Are they hearing about your love for people? Are they hearing about your faith? What are they hearing about you? So for Paul to be in prison and to hear about these people he loves and how much their faith is strong and their love for others is strong, that jumps out at me. What do people hear about you? I do not like it when I hear that people are talking bad about me behind my back. It's a nightmare. I will fix it however I can. But as soon as, if I get a text or a Facebook message that says that someone is thinking about me or praying for me, or they heard even about this new church, we heard what you were doing and we're praying for you, my heart is totally full. And I would love that for you as well. I would love for you to be someone that people hear about your faith and your love. And I know a lot of you, and I know that that is true of you. And I also know that we are thinking and praying for you. So the next thing he says is that I keep asking the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So this is something that you need to know. We are praying for you, that you would know God better. The glorious Father, Jesus Christ, who died for you. We want you to know him better. I want to know him better. I don't think you can ever know him best. So we want you to just be walking in your own life in a path that leads you closer to him, because everything around you will be more joyful, more full, when you are knowing God better. And so then he says that he wants the eyes of their heart to be enlightened. Okay, so we're talking about hard eyes. This is not as difficult as it sounds, but it's something that you could ponder forever, what the eyes of your heart are. There is seeing, and then there is seeing with the eyes of your heart. There is compassion. There is love for others. They're seeing, like I see right now, all I'm seeing is myself in this flip around on my phone because I'm recording this. But the eyes of my heart are seeing all of you wherever you are. I am picturing the people that are becoming a part of Hometown Church. I'm thinking of the people I love. I'm thinking of, I can see that there are people out listening that need to know that they are loved. That's my heart eyes, the eyes of my heart. And all we want for you is that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Imagine what that would feel like. Okay, so then there's more, there's even more that we want for you and that Paul wanted for the Ephesians. And he says that he wants the eyes of your heart to be enlightened in order that you may know the hope, to which he has called you, the riches, of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. All right, so what we want is that you would see these things in your life. Hope, the riches that you inherit because you're part of the family of God now, and incomparable power. So then he goes on to say, I'm just gonna read this now and then we'll go back a little bit, but that power that we're talking about, that power is the same as the mighty strength God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So what are we looking for? What are we trying to see with our eyes, the eyes of our heart? We're trying to see the hope that we have, the riches in our lives now and in heaven that we inherit because we're in the family of God, and also the incomparably great power that we also inherit because we believe. We have the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That seems a little bit gigantic. We are not superheroes. I am surrounded by superheroes right now. I think I've watched the Marvel Universe movies. My kids make fun of me. My three teenage kids make fun of me because every time they come in my room when I'm like after work and stuff, it's just another Marvel movie. There's just Iron Man is on again, or I'm watching Thor. I just happen to love them. I think I could watch Endgame every day and not get bored. So I know about superheroes because that's what I know. I'm nerdy and that's how it goes. But I know this is very different than superheroes. This is not the power that we're talking about. Is not I get to be invisible now, or I can run at incredible speeds, or jump from giant buildings. No, that's not this power. This power is in Jesus Christ. This is the power that helps us to be so close to God that we can see and perform miracles. Have you ever even considered that? And here's the thing, maybe I'm losing you, maybe you're like, this is a little bit nuts. There are things that I've seen with people that I love and with my own regular eyes, not only just the eyes of my heart, but with my regular eyes, that can only have come from this power. I have heard and seen miracles from people. I'm not gonna go into them right now. This is the part where I say, if you wanna know about these things in my life, please let's chat, let's have coffee. I can't wait to tell you about what I've seen in my life. But I know that it's because of the great power that we share as children of God. And I want you to think about that. So not only today do we want you to know that you're being prayed for because we want you to get closer to him. We want you to know him better. No, we also want for you to find the hope and the fullness and riches of your inheritance and the power that you inherit by just believing in Jesus. This is big stuff. And I do want you to know that you are being prayed for. If you're watching this today, you are special, you are loved, you are called. And not only are we praying for you, but you are a part of God's family. And you, please read Ephesians again and see, be reminded of who you are. Sometimes we just need a letter, just someone to remind us that we are called to a higher purpose. We are loved deeply. so we can move on with our lives in this broken, flawed world. We are here to remind you that you are called, adopted, loved. You get to have the hope, the riches, and the power of being in God's family. And I want you to look for those things today. So, just making sure I got everything here, because I don't want you to forget that we're praying for you and that we want you to go out into this week and be people who live in the glorious riches, in the hope, and in the power of Christ. Thank you so much for watching, and we can't wait to see you next week on Father's Day, June 20th at the shelter. And we are just praying for you this week that you would know God better. I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you so much for using Paul to write these letters to people that he loved, that you love, and us. Thank you so much for the reminders that we are your children and that you care for us. Father, I just ask that you would remind us throughout the week, especially when we're feeling at our lowest or most alone, that we are not alone, that we have a glorious Father who gives us hope, riches, and even power to make it through this life, this week, these hours. Father, I thank you for the community that you're building here at Hometown Community Church, and I ask that you would help us to spur each other on so that we will walk in your path, Lord, that we will get to know you better. I ask that today, that you would open the eyes of our hearts to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.